The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you, my brothers and sisters, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our life is filled with endings and beginnings, the Alpha and the Omega. It just seems like only 361 days ago we began the year 2015. And in 4 days, this year will be ended. Yet we know that in the church calendar, we began a new year on November the 29th, past the first Sunday of Advent. Sometimes endings and beginnings mark clear boundaries, and at other times they seem to blend. For example, when someone finishes a program or a course of study, we say they have graduated. Yet the service is called a commencement, which means a beginning. When a loved one's life ends, we say that they have entered a new beginning, a larger life with God. Throughout our life, we experience other endings that lead to the possibilities of new beginnings. The end of one job, the beginning of a new one, the beginning of a ministry, the ending of a ministry. In our lessons today, we get a glimpse of two young boys, gifts of God, really, whose lives were undergoing a radical change and whose endings and new beginnings were about to transform not only them, but also the world around them in their days and hours. Both of them were fortunate. They experienced what many young boys and girls don't, namely to be loved and treasured in those early years that are so crucial for a lifetime of health, wholeness, with the possibility of growing into responsible maturity. Both boys, Samuel and Jesus, accompanied their parents in a religious journey to offer sacrifice and to remember how much God was involved in their child's life and in their own. Samuel, son of Hannah, had been dedicated for service to God very early in life. And Samuel, it was whom God had selected to end the period of Israel's identity crisis and begin the transformation and transition of God's covenant people by establishing a united kingdom with Saul, David, and Solomon. Jesus, on the other hand, son of Mary, was sent by God the Father to end the old ways, fulfilling the Jewish scripture, creating a new Israel, and beginning the message of salvation for the world, and showing us just how the heaven on earth would be possible. Little did anyone know that a young boy attending the Passover that day with his parents in Jerusalem would be that messenger. So we gather here today in holy worship to remember, to be reminded and be surprised about how God turns up in unlikeliest places. Like Samuel gathering with Eli and Jesus with his parents at the time of the Passover, we gather to remember the stories of our tradition. As we remember them, we are reminded of who we are, whose we are, and the life in Christ that lies ahead. And all along the way, surprises come to us, don't they? Often in people and in circumstances we least expect. For Samuel and Jesus, their early years of observation were of great value to them in their ministries. It was said that Mary treasured the events at Jerusalem in her heart. We can let others know today that they are treasured by another human being and by God. It is all of you that I have treasured. And so I come to the point at which I must acknowledge that my beginning here at Holy Trinity now comes to an ending. For you, the people of God, I want you to take these words to heart and remember the reason God called me here into your lives almost 9 years ago was to be a servant in good times and bad times, and to love you as He loves you. Henri Nouwen, the great spiritual writer, has a beautiful thought about loving and leaving. I read to you a quote. Every time we make a decision to love someone, we open ourselves up to great suffering, because those we most love cause us not only great joy, but also great pain. The greatest pain comes from leaving. If we want to avoid the pain of leaving, we will never experience the joy of loving. And love is stronger than fear. Life is stronger than death. Hope is stronger than despair. We have trust that the risk of loving is always worth the taking. That's the end of the quote. It sounds real serious and somber, and it is. So I ask you to bear with me as I reminisce. You have taught me through personal examples. I have been privileged and honored to serve alongside you in Christ's name. You have invited me into your lives and homes, and sometimes into the innermost moments of life where you are most vulnerable. Moments of change, moments of joy, loss, despair, or fragile hope. You have told me your stories. You have spoken of moral victories and deepening faith. You have also told me of deep wounds and heavy burdens. And you have let me pray with you and for you. I have learned and grown through these encounters with all of you. We've gone through many things together. We have shared sorrows together, loss of loved ones. fears in hospital rooms, family challenges in funerals, great and small, many of your loved ones I was privileged to serve. We have also shared victories, healings after surgeries and illnesses, families restored to wholeness, the smile when I have given you a prayer shawl or visited you in the hospital. I have witnessed peace after I have given you communion. If I have misrepresented God or the church in any way, I am truly sorry. But thankfully, God is God, and I am not. Thank you for your kindnesses, your truthfulness, your hard work, and your abiding faith. Each of you have touched my heart in a particular way. In our visits together, in telephone calls, emails, and informal chats in the parking lot, in the halls, wherever. Also in your losses and your celebrations, your transitions and your decisions. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to walk with you and to be an intimate part of your lives. I have enjoyed standing at the entrance doors each week, seeing all of you coming toward me as an embodiment of love, concern, and everyday human drama. Thank you for blessing me in these and many ways. I know more of God from knowing all of you. You will abide in my love as we all abide in Christ's love, because love gets wider and wider as our lives go by and we are drawn steadily into the heart of God. You will continue to be in my prayers. Please, I ask, pray for me. In Japan, there is an art form called Kintsukuroi. Is that right, Rob? Did I get that right? I have it written out phonetically, so I don't know if I butchered it or not. But anyway, it means in Japanese to repair with gold. When a precious pot or bowl is broken, we in the Western world would probably throw it away. In Japan, artists discovered that they could reassemble the bowl or the pottery if it used gold or silver lacquer, which leaves a precious gilt tracery throughout the pottery. The bowl, therefore, becomes even more beautiful for having been broken. This is, I think, a wonderful metaphor for any of our lives, for surely every life endures some fractures and chips along the way, and some are shattered into pieces. When we lose someone dear and near, they may be a piece of us that will never be found or restored again. The Japanese art of repaired pottery is a reminder that all those cracks, lines, and chips in your life are what make you beautiful and more valuable to God, our Creator. That's the image I have from having served you. You are not a nobody. You are all important. The divine life and calling that God gave, the Father gives each of us as we go about his business, is a grace and is a way of mending that restores us to a wholeness that takes away the wear and tear of our earthly lives. Life together in community is not easy, nor is it always smooth, but blended lines create an amazing beauty over time. My hope for you is that you will continue to blend together and cherish one another, to welcome everyone God brings through your doors, and to thrive with your leaders. The community is more than its leaders. It breathes through the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is at the true center. It follows after Christ, who is its true head. It is drawn into God's heart, which is its true destination. What I'm trying to say, folks, is this isn't my church. This is Christ's church. He is the head of it. We are merely the characters, and I mean that, and caretakers of it for a brief time. In the meantime, we must always be about our Father's business. The reading spoke about Jesus being in his Father's house. That's the translation we have. I like the King James Version, which says he was about his Father's business. So the Gospel of Gus that I'm working on writing when I retire will have the translation in it that Jesus was about his Father's business. This may take a while. I did not fare well with Greek in seminary, so my translating skills need to be boned up a little bit. But anyway, we must always be about our Father's business. And just what is that business? Among many things, it is to believe in the Son who will raise us up on the last day. The best way I know to be about our Father's business is found in the 28th chapter of Matthew. It's called the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion, the Great Commission. He has commissioned all believers to go and spread the good news. Make disciples of all nations. Go and spread the gospel. Share the gospel that God brings your way. If necessary, use words. Doing the will of the Father and living out the heart of the gospel message means offering ourselves in unconditional love to one another. Yes, even people we don't like, people who don't like us, people we would rather judge than love or cut up. Living out the gospel message does not mean loving only when people do things our way, when they look and talk and dress and eat and pray and worship like we do. Being a Christian will in the end be about what we do, because being in relationship with Jesus does not depend on his physical presence, but on the presence of the love of God. And the love of God is made present when people go about the Father's business. So rather than say goodbye, I don't know where the good is in goodbye, I would rather say farewell. The ancient meaning of which is God be with you. I leave you with St. Paul's words found in 2 Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.